Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast of Perimeter Church in Atlanta, Georgia, hosted by me, Jeff Norris, along with my co-host, Laura Story Elvington. This podcast aims to equip you to follow Jesus by digging deeper into the teachings and the topics of the Bible and of culture and of life.
Jeff, I'm so excited about this next series of episodes as we are calling it Kingdom People. All of us feel that push and pull of culture around us. How do we really represent the kingdom of God as we live in what feels like a very different kingdom? And I am excited. This is the second of our episodes, and we're doing something a little bit different. And we did it for the first one, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
But we are starting off the first two episodes with conversations. And you shared even on our last episode who these people are. Can you give us just a quick reminder?
Yeah, so my friends who are also pastors here in the Atlanta area, we've collaborated together on teaching a series to our churches at the same time leading up to the election and had some roundtable discussions that we recorded. That's what this is. My friends Clay Smith and Jeremy Morton and Jason Cook, we had some really good discussions. This one that we're going to be in today is around this topic of how are we going to help people and even just for ourselves, this conversation of being a dual citizen. Mm-hmm. A citizen in the kingdom of God and a citizen here on earth. Of course, our citizenship in the kingdom is preeminent. How do we do that in our homes well? How do we help our children understand what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom of God? And then even in our marriages, how do we help one another as husbands and wives? So it was a really good conversation.
I can't wait to listen.
Hey, I'm Clay Smith. I'm the pastor of Johnson Ferry Baptist Church. And I want to welcome you to a conversation that we are having surrounding our sermon series, Citizen, where four churches in the Atlanta area have come together to discuss really important topics for our day and age in this season. So I'm excited about having this conversation, and I want to introduce you to the folks that are with me today. So why don't we start right here with Jeff?
Yeah, thanks, Clay. Jeff Norris, I serve as the senior pastor at Perimeter Church in Johns Creek, and just thrilled about this collaboration and even these conversations that we're having. It's going to be great.
And then the much more famous of the three is the one to my left.
For sure. Come on now.
Who do we have here today?
I'm the Schlemiel man. I'm Crawford Laritz, and just the privilege of knowing you guys and walking with you guys. You guys have blessed me in a great way. Served as pastor of Fellowship Bible Church for almost 16 years. And now I head up a ministry called Beyond Our Generation. Just want to put wind in the sails of emerging Christian leaders.
Well, in this joint sermon series, we are talking about this idea of citizen. And as believers in Christ, we, in a sense, have a dual citizenship.
Yeah.
Not only citizens of this earth, and more particularly citizens of this nation, but more importantly, we are citizens of heaven. Mm. And sometimes those things go together really well, and sometimes there's a collision.
Yes.
And so we're talking about various aspects of that. And in today's conversation, we want to talk specifically about how that impacts our role at home. As moms and dads, as grandparents, as siblings in our marriages. So, Crawford, I want to throw the first question over to you. We've centered this series in the Beatitudes of Christ.
Yes.
And just as you think about those Beatitudes and this whole notion of being a citizen at home, where does your mind first go?
Well, the Beatitudes are the constant in terms of what we ought to be. That's not affected by environment, not affected by issues. It's what we ought to be. Now, I just want to step back a little bit, though. You know, our dual citizenship does not mean we hold those things equally. I think our citizenship down here is our transient citizenship. Our permanent citizenship is in heaven. Hmm. And that permanent citizenship affects the transient citizenship. Yeah. I know that sounds like a bunch of marbles, but that's really true. And so family is the means by through which God is passing on his purposes from one generation to the next. So that's we've got to step back and think about the reason for family. We don't raise kids just so they, you know, they don't go to jail, they don't do bad things, or they, you know, they do us proud and this kind of thing. That's wonderful stuff. But we raise them to go to a time that we cannot see to represent the noble, timeless, eternal principles during their moment in history. Mm. So that's kind of like the backdrop as to why this stuff is so terribly important. And so these Beatitudes, the pursuit of these things, will produce stability in your family, stability in your children. And that's why it's so important. But a decision has to be made by all parents. You've got to view the Bible not just as a point of reference, but as a context of your life. It can't just be an addendum or something that will help me in a transactional way to get through a bad time in my life, although that's certainly true. You got to decide. You got to decide that this book is God's voice and this is God's wisdom for all, universally, all of life and practice in terms of how I raise my family and help them to understand that and move toward that. So, yeah.
And so just so everyone knows, how many kids and grandkids do you have?
We've got 4 children and 11 grandkids, although I tell our kids their only reason for existence now is transportation for my grandkids.
That's so good.
And we're at different stages of the game. Yeah. So I have 3 kids, 3 daughters. And Jeff, remind us 4, about your family.
4 that are range from, they're 21, 17, 15, and 12.
Oh, wow.
So,
Or they're just a little bit younger, 17, 13, and 10, but similar.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think about the Beatitudes specifically and thinking about parenting. The thing that just jumps off the page at me is really those first 3 even.
Yeah.
You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. And you go, okay, that was countercultural in Jesus' day when he preached it originally. But like that's astoundingly countercultural today. Because, you know, we don't even know, I don't think we even realize the ways in which we raise kids. We talk about it some, there's podcasts about it and so forth, but we just so naturally swim with the culture and the current of the culture that raises kids in a way that produces pretty proud, self-centered kids, right? Like who see the world first and foremost is centered around them. Wow. And then you have Jesus starting this greatest sermon ever preached, ever recorded. And he starts with, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Yes.
Right? Your spiritual poverty is one of the most important things about you. Recognizing that you bring nothing to the table, which then sets the table for, okay, I desperately need a savior. So are we pressing that into our kids? Blessed are those who mourn. Okay, we don't ever hear that. Mourn what? Mourn our sin, mourn the evil in this world, mourn the ways in which God's not honored, mourn the, you know. And then, blessed are the meek, okay, the gentle. We think meek, we think weak, you know, but what is meekness biblically? Well, it's this actual strong gentleness that is very counterculture to the way in which, you know, what do? They inherit the earth. The meek inherit the earth. Well, don't the strong inherit the earth? Like, but then, so the question for me, even as a parent, is how am I helping my kids realize in really healthy, God-honoring ways, not in self-condemning ways, it's not about you. It's really not. And I love you with all my heart, but if you're going to thrive in this life according to the way that God has designed his kingdom to flourish, you're going to embrace that reality.
So, well, you know, Jeff, you're saying something that, I mean, that's profound. I actually believe that, you know, when you look at the Beatitudes, Jesus is telling us to embrace a permanent sense of God neediness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. That is a great thing.
That's right.
That you know, the thesis of my Christianity is not me. God does not want me to be a better version of myself.
Yeah.
But he wants us to represent who he is. And also when you consider the Beatitudes in the whole, it's God neediness that produces incredible gratitude.
Yeah.
Because he says the word blessed itself, makarios, is soul-enriching happiness for my God neediness. And I'm grateful for what he's done in my heart and life. And so, you know, I think we want to raise proud kids, and I got to be careful about that because you do want your kids to be confident. Don't get
Absolutely.
Me wrong.
Yeah.
And you do want them to face life with a sense of stability and mm-hmm. vision and that kind of thing. But who's the center of that vision?
Yeah.
Where does that confidence come from?
Right.
Yeah.
So countercultural. Even the thought of happy is he who mourns.
Yes.
So we're talking about deeper spiritual truths here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shifting to the practical side, I know this about being a pastor. When we talk about parenting, it is much easier to preach than it is to do.
Oh, my goodness.
And we've all told our people to do things that we know we struggle to do. So nobody, like a hypocrite. Yeah. Nobody up here is an expert in parenting, certainly not me. Yeah. At the same time, as a pastor, you have a unique vantage point of watching parents in various ways. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to hear both of your observations about this idea of parenting in the ways of Jesus, in the way that helps them to see their citizenship and where it truly is. What are things that encourage you as you look at parents in your church and in the community? And certainly, what are things that discourage you in the same light?
Well, you know, I think there's so many wonderful, there's so many parents that's doing it right. And, you know, I think sometimes we highlight the ones that are not showing up, that are not doing it right. But, you know, there's a lot of parents in all of our churches who are showing up and who's modeling humility and these kinds of things. And you know, to be a successful Christian parent does not guarantee that your children are going to turn out right. I mean, God has what's the old cliche? God has no grandchildren. They've got to make decisions for themselves, right? But there's so many that's doing it right. But also, I think there's a lot of guilt and fear that has kind of sabotaged a lot of our parenting. We feel guilty, so we overindulge, or we're so fearful of the culture blowing our kids up or ambushing them or recruiting them or doing something crazy that we overreact. And so we get backdoored into legalism and rules and regulations and this kind of thing but you know, I think somehow—
But both are rooted in fear.
Both are rooted in fear.
Maybe parents wouldn't recognize that.
Yeah. Both, you're scared. But I think what we need to do is have a discipleship that helps us to be missional about our parenting, giving clarity of vision and freedom and realizing that our kids don't need to be afraid if they clarify purpose and why they're here. And once again, it backdoors to the Beatitudes, you know. If they embrace these things and if we can parent our kids along these lines, and we know the scriptures, and so when they don't make the soccer team or the cheerleading squad or the disappointment comes, we can pull them into the scriptures about development or when they screw up and make mistakes. How do we help them to repent? And you're not defined by that. Jesus can turn that around in your life. So I think we've got to conquer that fear and press into it, you know?
Yeah. I have some thoughts, but I want you. I'm going to throw it back on you because I know you got a lot of wisdom and you're playing host. I want you to speak to it.
Yeah. Well, I want to just acknowledge the struggle.
Yeah.
There's so much pressure on our kids from places that they're interacting with every single day. I'm thinking about YouTube and TikTok and just all the things our kids are involved with every day. And as a parent, there's this impulse, a protective, good impulse to try to shelter them from all that. Yeah. At the same time, that is the world today. I mean, it's impossible to completely shelter your kid from all these things that could be destructive in the long term. And that doesn't mean you simply abdicate your responsibility to do what you can to protect them. At the same time, I do think that what is needed today is open conversations about worldview and about influence. And even more particularly, as we're talking in this election season, it's been fascinating. My oldest daughter will be 18 at the time of the election, so it's her first time to vote for president, which I have loved our conversations around it because it helps you to talk about the character of a leader. It helps you to talk about what our leaders do and what role they play in society, and you're trying to help them base their opinion on more than just the popularity poll and that kind of thing. So it's been really fascinating for me just to have these conversations. I mean, you have a couple of kids a little bit older than mine, but what about you?
Similar in the sense of like with my oldest, who's 21, he's already voted in a couple of like local elections. And, but you know, just, being able to have those conversations is important. My daughter who's 17, she won't she won't be 18 yet when the election comes, so she's barely missing out. But which for her, she's probably glad about. But you know, something that I think about, and again, I just want to reiterate, I feel like it's not needed, but I'm going to do it anyway. How, if you're listening to this and you think, man, these three guys do all these things we're saying perfectly, then we're far from it. And this is one of those where it's like, man, I think about this, I try to do it, but man, I really fail a lot. But I think a lot of times parents, Christian parents, ask the wrong question, or they're focused on the wrong thing, which is the question we're typically asking that's rooted in fear most of the time is, what do I need to keep my kids from? What do I need to protect them from? And those are, and there is a time and place for that. I mean, we talk all the time, my wife and I, about how can we be monitoring what they're seeing on their phones and so forth. And there's a, certainly a place for that. I want to encourage Christian parents, though, and this is the language of the Beatitudes, getting back to it, right? One of the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yes. So I think the better question we can be asking is parents, and trying to raise children in this world as Christ followers, what can I help give them a hunger for? Mm. Not so much, hey, what do I need to make sure that you're afraid of or that you're protected from?
Yeah.
But how can I develop, to the extent that I can, I'm not the Holy Spirit in their life, but to the extent that I can as their parent, give them a hunger for things that really matter, things that are eternal, things that last, things that are meaningful, vertically and horizontally. And if we begin to wrestle with that as a kid and we go, man, my kid hungers most for, and look, I'm just going to throw some things out there, but my kid hungers most for sitting in front of the Xbox, or my kid hungers most for scrolling on TikTok. I was like, okay, well, one, they're teenagers, so that's normal, but how can I press into that? Mm-hmm. To say, well, let's see if we can help develop a, so how do you do that? Well, take them with you on things that you're doing that are missionally focused.
Yeah.
Right. Nice. I mean, that it can be as big as a mission trip overseas, but it can be as small as, hey, you know what? I was going to go down and give some things at the local co-op anyway, and hang out with some people anyway. And so I'm going to bring Johnny along with me, you know? So giving them a bigger vision for their life. In a bigger hunger.
And it's predicated upon you exhibiting that hunger.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the, let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Do we want for ourselves what we want for our kids?
Yeah.
And are we living in that way?
That's so good, yeah.
With just a few minutes left, you know, Crawford, I want to turn it back to you, just as someone further down the track than me or Jeff, who now has grandkids, you have adult children. Would love any practical advice of things that you found to be helpful as a dad, even as a granddad, the intentionality of walking with your kids through issues of the day. Just, I know there's so many lessons you could give, but what are some of the things that really stick in your mind that you and your wife, Karen, have done that you're proud of?
Yeah, you know, I'm really captured, Jeff, by what you said about hunger and thirst for righteousness, positive side of things. You know, Karen and I have made many, 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 many mistakes. You know, many mistakes. I mean, you know, I've disciplined the wrong child, and you know, congratulated the wrong child, and but you know, it all works out because you know, it covers it. But we've done all of that. But I think that there are two things that we've tried to do, and our kids have commented on these things. Number one. Parenting means that you're the portrait of the desired destination at which you want your children to arrive. Mm. So it's the eloquence of modeling. If you want them to bleed, then you have to hemorrhage. There's no getting around that. Mm. You can have all the great content in the world, but if they see dissonance and hypocrisy and that kind of thing, you just ambushed everything that you're trying to do. So, and that's a weight that you feel. And the second one, though, is because none of us do it perfectly, you have to embrace humility and repentance as a parent. You have to do that. You've got to have the courage to look your kids in the eye and say, you know, I fail in this area. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I did not make the best decision along these lines. I didn't respond. I overreacted to you. You've got to do that. See, our kids need to be tied to our heart and to our intention. And those, when you when you repent, it's crazy. It doesn't damage what you're saying about where they need to be. In fact, it warp speeds them toward that because they see honesty and vulnerability in your own heart and life. And I think that that's what we need to embrace. And they see us growing, and then they want to hold on to the same thing.
And to press one step further, there are a lot of grandparents who have adult kids who aren't walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I know that your four kids are walking with the Lord, yeah. But any advice you'd give to grandparents just in their role as a grandparent for maybe giving their grandkids what they're not getting from their parents?
Well, I think that's a touchy one, because sometimes if the kids are not walking with the Lord, then they've got your grandkids. They can be a little bit resistant and hold you off from having that type of influence in their lives. But again, it's the eloquence of modeling. Don't ever underestimate the godliness that pours out of you. You're making a greater impact by your demeanor, how you respond, how you love on them, strategically answering their questions with what you really believe. And I think that that's terribly important. But I thought you were going to ask me this question. I also think it's important that grandparents, the parents of these of your own kids that are not maybe walking with the Lord or that kind of thing, or maybe you've made some mistakes, if there's something that you can apologize for, don't get off the hook. You do it. Mm.
Yeah.
You do it. And as long as there's breath, there's the opportunity for change. And I would say this, look, parenting is, you parent on your knees. You parent on your needs. And I think sometimes we so want to help people with practical stuff, we forget the dynamic of seeking God to do what we cannot do, and that we depend upon Him, and He'll give us what we need.
Jeff, last question to you, and I'd love to interact a little bit just as pastors, pastoring churches right now. Certainly, we would agree that parents are the primary disciple makers, that the home is the primary environment in which these spiritual seeds are to be sown and grown and all the things that come with that.
Yeah.
At the same time, I know the church, our church, your church, we want to come alongside and be a resource. So what are some ways that parents might better utilize the partnership of a local church to help in them discipling and raising their kids?
One of the things that we've been talking a little bit more about at Perimeter in the last, couple years maybe, I guess probably since COVID, coming out of COVID, we all felt during COVID the isolation, been well documented and deeply experienced by all of us. I think there's a sense of people realizing, those who, again, in the church, realizing, I heard about the importance of community before COVID. I'm really, really feeling it now. And even in our parenting, at least for me personally, even like having other dads that I am doing life with, moms having other moms that they're doing life with. And I don't know that I have to say this, but just to make it clear, not just for the sake of like getting together to, bemoan parenting together, like, and this is horrible. And this is, my kid did this. And yeah, I mean, there's a place for that. Right. Yeah. But to encourage one another, to speak life into each other, to hear from another dad, man, I blew it too. I totally lost my temper with my kid, and have another dad say to you, hey, are you believing the gospel right now? That you're forgiven of that, and that God's not disappointed in you, and that, go repent. The best thing you can do with your kid is go repent. I mean, I tell dads all the time, maybe the best thing I do as a parent, and I don't even do this well, but maybe the best thing I do as a parent is repent to my kids and at least model a gospel in that way, right? So, but just having other parents to come alongside of you, and even in this political conversation, how are you engaging or not engaging with your kids on this front? So those conversations are critical, and those relationships are critical.
Yeah.
I'd agree. One thing that we talk a lot about at Johns Ferry is the statistic that the kids that seem to stick with their faith after high school are ones that can often point to four or five individuals that are not their parents who they can go to for godly advice and wisdom. So that's a challenge I would give to parents something that we're trying to do, is how are you surrounding your kids with other adults in the body of Christ who can be those gospel aunts and uncles and parents and connect them? Because there are sometimes they will tell them things they simply will not tell you.
That's right.
But knowing that you have these advocates and this family of Christ is so vitally important.
And it's so true, too, that, like, you know, somebody else, it's not you, will say something that you have said over and over again. We know this.
Is not fair.
It's not fair. And they'll go, and then they'll come home and say, "Dad, Travis said yada, yada, yada." And it's like, "Man, I've told you that 15, 20 times." Like,
what a revelation.
And never heard it. He's like, "It was amazing."
That's right.
In the words of Jesus, let him who has ears to hear.
That's right. That's right. So,
well, I love you guys. Love your heart for this. Crawford, love your heart. And just while you're on this podcast, I want to say to you, thank you.
Yes.
This group that has come together for this joint sermon series is the fruit of relationships that you started. You pulled us together, and we just love doing life with you and love your influence and friendship. And I want to say thank you, everyone who is listening or watching this today, and hope that you are connecting with the Citizen Series and hope this has been beneficial to you. If so, would encourage you to share this on whatever platform might be helpful for others to connect with this resource. So until next time, keep being citizens of the kingdom.
Amen.
Jeff, I am so encouraged. I am encouraged for many reasons. First of all, just the content of what you shared was so rich. But also getting so many different perspectives and us getting to hear from people other than you that we get to hear from, you know, every Sunday. And just such an important topic. And as excited I am about these past two, we have four more coming up.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed that time of just sitting around and having those conversations. Those are pretty indicative of the kind of conversations we have anyway when we meet quarterly as pastors. But, you know, you hit record on a camera, but that's who we are. We wanted to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. If they can be helpful in any way for those listening, that's great. But I enjoyed it. I love hearing from those brothers. They have such good perspective and insight that certainly helps me, and I hope it helps those who have tuned in today.
I'm sure it will, Jeff. And I'm excited about these upcoming episodes as we are going to look at kingdom people and some of these characteristics, like kingdom people pray, kingdom people endure during hardship, kingdom people have lasting friendships, and also kingdom people show kindness.
Yeah.
And so much exciting stuff coming up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to those episodes and really, honestly, how they push me personally.
Yeah.
And again, you know, one of our desires in all this is that we have conversations with people that first and foremost are good for us.
Yeah.
It's good for my heart, your heart, but then also as you tune in, may it be a blessing to you. And especially in this season where it's just so easy. The reason we're kind of zooming in on these things is because it's so easy to not experience and express these things, when the world around us is kind of losing its mind. So anyway, this is going to be a good time.